Ja, jag tänker inte ta sats och springa i. Det finns inte. I så fall så står jag här och så tar ett steg ut för att gå bra med det. Så, nej, ja. Kommer du vilja hoppa direkt med hoppar? Eller kommer du balla ur, eller banga med?
Det är alltså procentuell chans att jag... Att jag liksom bara... För om jag ser att du kanske... alltså inte skadas, men att du liksom så här säger till mig.
För
jag
litar
på det. Om du säger så här, Frida, gör inte, då gör jag det inte. Alltså det är verkligen bara för en själv. Hur känner du själv?
Jag stänger bort det en lite.
Okej, sorry. Men hur känner du om jag hoppar då? Vill du stå kvar och...
Nej. Jag vill göra första så fort. Om det är okej för
mig. Ja, det är okej.
Om det är okej för dig.
Ja.
Okej.
Ja.
Jag kommer vråla.
Ja, men det är helt okej. Jag ska också skrika.
Mina knän och knänskakorna. Nu bestämde jag mig precis.
Ja, tänkte du bestämma sig
sist då? Nu vet du hur det känns att vara knäsvar.
Men känner du inte? Oh. Ta det försiktigt.
Ses på andra sidan. Ses i Nangijala.
Nangijala.
Was so much braver than him, right? I mean, we edited it. He was up there for about 4 minutes. It took her about 14 seconds to jump off there. I don't know if you've ever jumped off of a high dive or maybe a high rock over a lake or over the ocean, but several years ago, I met up with some family and we all met in Colorado for a vacation. And one day of that vacation, we went whitewater rafting. And about halfway down the river, the guide pulled us over. It was a calm spot. There was kind of a deep pool and a sheer cliff where there were a couple spots where people were jumping into the water. And the guide was like, hey, this is a great spot. You can climb up those rocks. You can jump in. And from the boat, it didn't look that high. Till I climbed up there and, you know, there was kind of... little landing up there. We probably fit 5 or 6 people and one at a time kind of jump off in there. And I got to the top and I'll be honest, I froze. Like I was totally gripped with fear. It was way high. It was probably only 15 feet, but it was way higher than I thought. And I was actually about to turn around and just go, there's no way I'm doing this, and walk back down. And then 2 10-year-old girls came up, grabbed hands and just jumped off. So now I was like, dang it, I have to do it. Otherwise, it would now be called the walk of shame to go back down there. And so I stepped up to the ledge, mustered some courage, and jumped off there, splash. Now, what it took for me to do that was I had to push past my fear. I had to be willing to fully commit to that moment and that experience. And that's what this Cannonball series is all about. That I think there's going to be some elements where you're going to have to push past some fear. And we're inviting all of us to really do a cannonball in our faith with God. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next 6 weeks. We're going to talk about what having a cannonball kind of faith looks like. What does it mean to jump all in our relationship with God? And then how do we collectively and individually make some kingdom of God waves? Which is the kingdom of God is simply the realm where what God wants done is done. How do we do that together? That's what we're going to talk about. And this 6-week series is really so much more than just something we're going to do in the weekends. We are calling it a spiritual journey that we're going to go on. And this 6-week spiritual journey is really going to launch us into a 2-year spiritual journey collectively as a church. Today we're going to introduce you to some initiatives and some goals and some things that we hope to accomplish collectively together. That's one of the things that we're going to do. But to get the most out of this spiritual journey right up front, I want you to consider deciding today to do 3 things over the next 6 weeks. Number 1, show up every weekend like you are right now. decide that you're going to be here for these weekend teachings. We are praying and believing that they are going to inspire you as we open up God's word and let it change our lives. The second thing I want to ask you to do is get into a growth group. We created a custom video-based teaching discussion format that digs a little deeper into what we're talking about on the weekends. And so at the end, we're going to give you some instructions on Group Central that's open today and to sign up for one of our groups, couples, men's, women's, you know, you could do it by age, demographic, 20s, 30s groups, all different kinds of stuff. So we want you to join a group. And then number three, we want you to do the e-devotional, which you can access, which is a simple thought to consider, scripture to read, and prayer to pray Monday through Friday. You can get that on the Eastlake Church app. Or if you fill out a connection card, we will push it to you via email if you would rather get it that way. And here's why we're asking you to do those three things. Because we just believe that if we all would give God a little more space and a little more time in our life, that he will speak to us, that he is going to encourage us, he is going to challenge us, and I think all of us collectively, he's going to call us to some greater things. And so whether you have been coming to our church for a long, long time, some of you years, decades in fact, or maybe you're fairly new, a couple weeks or a few months that you've been a part of our faith community. This is going to be a great series for you because we're going to talk a little bit about today kind of where we have been as a church, kind of our history, a little bit of our story, what has brought us to kind of who we are today. And then we're going to talk about the future, where we believe God is taking us. Because the truth is, our church really is a cannonball story. What I mean by that is from the very beginning, this has always been a place where there has been an ever-growing number of people willing to cannonball, meaning willing to take risk, willing to sacrifice, willing to give, willing to serve, willing to pray, and willing to invite friends. And the result of those people going all in with their faith has been some pretty good kingdom of God waves, meaning that we have introduced a whole lot of people to Christ, people who were far from God or maybe had a religious experience but really didn't have a relationship with God, have been able to find and follow Jesus here. We've helped disciple a whole lot of kids and students in our 25-year history. We've baptized thousands of people. We have given millions away in missions, doing some great works locally, regionally, globally. We've cared for orphans. We've built homes. We've been able to do a lot of things together. And the reason we've been able to do that is there's always been a group of people willing to cannonball, willing to jump in and make waves. And so what we're doing is we're kind of, you know, taking our next right step as a church. That's what this spiritual journey is all about. And so we have some ambitious goals that we believe God is leading us into. And so here's what we want to do. We created what we're calling a vision video to share with you a little bit of our story. It's kind of like a documentary almost, if you will. A little bit of our story, and then also a little bit of our future, where we feel like we are going as a community of faith over the next 2 years. And so I want to invite you to not sit back and relax, because I think this is really exciting. I hope that you'll sit up, and in anticipation, I want you to watch this.
I'm sure we can all look back at our lives and mark our journey through some defining moments. The decision we made in our education or meeting our spouse, the birth of a child or your children, that business partnership, that invitation to church, etc. As I look back on the life of our network and each congregation, it has been an incredible journey of faith and defining moments. A defining moment for our Chula Vista Church was all the way back in 1991, when a small congregation on the west side of Chula Vista sold their property to the city for a brand new library, and then used that money to start three new churches in California, one of those being Eastlake Church. Our legacy is built on multiplication and church planting. That was a defining moment and step of faith for that small congregation. Eastlake Chula Vista started in a home with about 30 people about 25 years ago. I became the pastor in 1997. As a matter of fact, I bought my home from the founding pastor where Eastlake Chula Vista started. That's where I still live today. Then we moved to Eastlake High School. Now, these 100 people believed in being a church, not just for themselves. The church grew and grew, and we built some buildings and bought property and did that each time through big faith steps and generosity initiatives. People believed in the mission and gave sacrificially, generously allowing us to make room for others to connect with Jesus.
You see, throughout our 25 years, we've helped plant 19 new churches. These are autonomous churches that are not our campuses, but people that we know and have believed in that have started gospel-centered churches in communities to reach unchurched people. 19, that's amazing in 25 years. But we also knew that this special DNA that East Lake Church had needed to be sent out into other communities as well. And that's when our network of churches was birthed. It started in Imperial Beach, then Rancho San Diego, then North Park and Mission Valley. Then it was East Lake Church, Salt Lake City. And then Venice Church joined in. And then East Lake Church, Tijuana. Then The Bridge planted and joined us. Then we planted East Lake Church, Temecula. And then Torrey Pines Church joined just last Easter. That's 28 new churches in 25 years. It's amazing to see what God has done. Those 30 people in a home with a vision to reach people far from God has now grown into a network of 9 churches that weekly worships with more than 7,000 people.
One of the things that I'm most proud of as we've grown as a network of churches is our missions and outreach giving. We've built wells, cared for orphans, built dorms and libraries and churches. We've cared for the homeless, built homes in Baja, helped school kids in Mexico, and provided a safe house for human trafficking victims. Just this past year, we baptized almost 500 people and saw more than 1,600 people come to Christ or come back to Christ in one of our services.
We believe we are at the edge of another defining moment in the history of our church. And we believe He's calling us into some big things over the next 2 years in the life of all of our churches.
So we thought a fun way to express this next season in our network of churches is what we are calling Cannonball. Jump in, make waves. That is what we want to do. We want to jump all in, taking huge faith steps, and we are believing the results will make some really big Kingdom of God waves. When you do a cannonball in a pool, you have to fully commit. There is no dipping your toe. You have to take that leap and go all in. And once you do a cannonball, it makes waves. There's a big initial splash, and then there are these waves that ripple out in all directions from the cannonball. We think this is a great picture of what God is calling us into this next season and what we believe can happen as a result of our big faith steps.
So during this next 2 years, we're beginning a generosity initiative where we want our collective giving across 9 churches, thousands of people and families to accomplish some pretty big Kingdom of God waves. Wave of compassion. We're believing God for 1.5 million in outreach locally, regionally, and globally. What this represents is our next 2 years of Christmas conspiracy offerings. We're believing that this Cannonball Generosity Initiative is going to cover all that we hope to accomplish in missions and outreach.
Wave of mission, infusing $15 million into the lifeblood of what we do daily. This is our general budget across all of our churches for 2 years with a $1 million increase. Resourcing weekly ministry in all of our churches through engaging services for adults, great children and youth programs, support groups, seminars, and a whole lot more.
Wave of multiplication. This is $3 million towards church planting and training church planters. We want to establish a robust residency program and leadership training center that teaches, trains, and sends out missionaries, church planters, and leaders in future churches.
Wave of engagement. $7.5 million in gaining and upgrading permanent facilities in the communities we serve. In some of our church locations, we are set up and tear down. Other church locations, we have permanent facilities. And in each of these locations, we want to steward these resources well and prepare for future growth and ministry needs. Our primary goal is 100% participation. And our secondary goal over the next 2 years is $27 million total. This is our collective giving goal across all 9 churches with thousands of families participating. Now, I know this is a big number, but it is a totally doable goal. I believe we already have all the resources we need to accomplish everything God is calling us to do. The only question is, are we once again willing to be a community of people who are willing to put everything on the line for this Jesus mission?
You see, the truth is, it's never been about us and what we can accomplish. It's always been about what God can do and what He can accomplish through us for His glory. For our entire 25 years, we've operated under 2 big principles as a church. Number 1, our church is not just for us. And then number 2, we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in everything we do. You see, everything we've ever done has been built on, and we've tried to live out those 2 things. And God is calling us deeper into those 2 things again.
So we're excited about Cannonball in a lot of ways. As our kids have grown and life becomes just very full, it's easy to get complacent and comfortable with where you are. And we're excited to be stretched again. We're excited to see people take that step for the first time like we did.
Cannonball is really, it's stretching us to really think differently and not think about ourselves. The mission of Eastlake is really people helping people find and follow Jesus, so we're on board.
The size of the goal, the magnitude of the goal that was presented to us was overwhelming. But the realization after it was presented that we can play a part in that.
Because we have the opportunity to know that Eastlake is such a huge organization, when you think about how many people are in the whole organization, And just divvy it out a little bit, it's not so hard to get there.
You see, the reason we have properties and buildings and kids' rooms and churches and schools and churches and theaters is because people have come before you and they've given and they've sacrificed and they've believed in this Jesus mission. And we believe God is calling us again to give and to sacrifice so others can find and follow Jesus, so that we could all look back 25 years from now and say, wow, look what God has done. Look at the disciples made, the leaders trained, the churches started, the missions projects accomplished, all for God's glory, not our own.
Really excited about what we believe God is leading us into. And we want to give you something right now that in print tells you what you just saw and what you just heard. We want to give you what we're calling our Cannonball book. And so ushers in all of our auditoriums, parent viewing rooms, patios are going to start walking up and down the aisle. Or if you're sitting on the end of an aisle, just reach down. You'll see a box. Grab a chunk of those out of the box, leave the box there, and then just start passing sections down the aisles. Now, we want each individual to receive one of these, not one per household or one per family. We want every person to get a Cannonball book. So if you're on an aisle, they should be down there. Just look and next to your seat, grab a stack, take one, pass it down. I think in the center section, they might only be coming one way or 2 ways. But we want to make sure everybody gets one of these. As you receive it, I'm going to tell you what's in here. First of all, there's a little bit about our history. There's some really cool timeline things in there that later on your own you can look at. Also, the vision that we just laid out that we hope to accomplish over the next 2 years is talked about in detail in here. Besides that, here's something else that we have inside of this book. All of your small group discussions for the next 6 weeks of this series are inside of this book. And there's one more thing. Wait for it. The next 6 weeks of sermon outlines are in this book. Now, I know what some of you are going to be tempted to do. You're going to want to go home and guess what all the fill-ins are for the next 5 weeks. You're going to treat it like a word puzzle, right? Like, maybe you could quiz yourself and see, but that's not the point of giving you this. We're going to actually walk through some of that stuff today. And then the other thing that was on the back of this is what we're calling our Cannonball Commitment Card. That's what this is right here. Now, let me just put you at ease. We are not asking you to make any financial commitments or give to Cannonball yet. It is way too soon for that. We're actually going to do that at the end of this series. I believe it's March 18 and 19 weekend. All we're asking you to do right now is keep this in a special place and just start to pray. And just start to pray and say, all right, what would be my part in this? So in fact, right now, here's what I'd like you to do if it wasn't like this when you received it. Go ahead and take your card and put it on the back of your book like this, because if you just set it inside, it will fall out, but it won't fall out if you do that. So go ahead and put it on the back, kind of cover, like this, and then here's the next thing. Turn to page 40. Everybody say page 40, because I know you're looking at other pages right now. Turn to page 40. Only page 40, and if the person next to you is looking at a different page than 40, karate chop them in the throat. All right, don't do that. That wouldn't be loving like Jesus, okay? And they might punch you in the face after that. But go ahead and just turn to page 40, because that is where our sermon outline for today is. Real quick, here's what I want to do. I want to look at our theme verse again, which is right there at the top of page 40, because this is a verse that we are hoping and praying and believing will be true of all of us by the end of this series. Because this spiritual journey, it is about us, first of all, individually. This is about you and Jesus and what God is going to do in you and ultimately what he wants to do through you. And then secondly, it is about us collectively as a church. And so our crazy prayer is that this verse would be true of us as individuals, and it will be true of us as a faith community. The Apostle Paul writes these words that we're about to read from prison. He's at a point in his life, he's towards the end of his life, and he has accomplished a lot. I mean, he has performed miracles in Jesus' name. He has started churches all over that part, like the Middle East and Southern Europe. He has made disciples. I mean, he has done a lot. He has also been through a lot of difficult things. He's been arrested multiple times because of this Jesus message. He's been beaten. He's been put in prison. He's been shipwrecked. And yet here he is, and he is not sitting back. He's not putting it on autopilot. He's not coasting. But once again, he is full of hope and passion for this Jesus mission. And so I want you to hear these words with that in mind, and what we are praying that we would all be able to say about our lives like he did his. Look at this. He said, I'm not there yet, nor have I become perfect, but I am charging on to gain anything and everything the anointed one Jesus has in store for me. And nothing will stand in my way, because he has grabbed me and won't let me go. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I've not arrived, but there's one thing I'm doing. I'm leaving my old life behind, putting everything on the line for this mission. The truth is, at our age and stage of a church, here in Chula Vista, we're 25 years old, and our stage, we've done some stuff, and we have some stuff. And the truth is, at our age and stage of a church, we could decide just to turn inward, make it about us, and just have a comfortable existence. And the reason we could decide that is because that's what a lot of churches do. And the reason churches do that is because churches are people. That's the truth. And just like people, the older we get and the more we have, the less likely we are to take risk, right? I mean, think about when you were most able and willing, you know, if you have some years on you, when were you most able and willing to take some real risk? It was when you were young and you didn't have anything, right? I mean, it wasn't that big a risk to move across the country or to take another job, right? Because it was like, man, we don't really have anything. Like, let's just go for it. But when you get a little more things and when you get a little more stuff and your roots go a little deeper, it becomes a lot harder to take risk. And churches are just like people because they are people. And what you see all over America are a whole lot of churches that don't have very many people in them anymore. And part of the reason is because at some point, they just decided to say, man, we're going to put it on autopilot. We're going to put it on cruise control. We're just going to kind of, you know, take it easy and relax. And we just decided that that's not going to be our story. It's never been our story. And the reason is because the scriptures don't allow that to be our story. We never reach a point in our individual life or in the church where we say, you know what, I'm just going to check out. I'm just going to put it on autopilot. And, you know, I'm just going to retire. Now, you might be able to retire from your job someday, but you never get to retire if you're a Jesus follower from engaging yourself into his mission in this world. We never get to retire from that. And so this spiritual journey is about us getting back to our roots, who we have always been as a community of people. And so real quick, here's what I want to do today. I want to give you kind of three things that I believe will happen for us individually and collectively if we will choose to jump in. Write this down. When we all jump in, number one, I move from me to we. I move from me to we. You see this in the very first church. We're going to look today at some passages in the book of Acts, which talk about this incredible thing that happened when these very first Jesus followers in Jerusalem, just weeks and months after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection and then ascension into heaven, some incredible things that happened with this very first church. And they made this shift from me to we. Look what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers, that's the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Did you notice that nothing they did was done alone? They gathered to listen to someone teach God's word and let it impact their life. That's what we're doing right now. It says they had fellowship and shared meals together. Fellowship is just a Bible word for authentic friendship, a community of people where you're known and loved and cared for and believed in and prayed for. That's what we do in growth groups. And even prayer wasn't regulated to just a solo experience. It was a communal experience. And that's because the church was never meant to be just a place where we attend, but rather a community that we belong to, a family that we are a part of. It's not just about me, it's about we. Last week, Pastor Mike told you a story, an unfortunate story, about me and a Speedo. If you were here last week. And I just want to bring clarity once again. It's not a Speedo. They're called jammers. And I wasn't walking around the gym in them. I was taking the 5 steps from the locker room to the pool. And I happened to run into somebody in those 5 steps. But anyway, just to put the correct image in your mind, if you don't know what jammers are, or you were wondering, what does James really look like in those? I kind of look like this. This is pretty much what it is like when I'm at the pool. Just in case. That's pretty accurate. Okay, I look nothing like that, but those are jammers, okay? Just to be clear. Now, you know who that was in the picture. Who was that in the picture? Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympic athlete of all time. 28 Olympic medals is what that guy has. Here's a picture of just the last 6 he won in, I think it was his 4th Olympics in the Rio Games. I mean, the most decorated athlete of all time. But when you really look at his 28 medals, even though we think of swimming as kind of it's an individual solo activity, 12 of his 28 medals were in relays. The most decorated athlete of all time wouldn't have about 40% of his medals if it wasn't for a team, if it wasn't for other people. And then if you really dig deeper and you look at the rest of his medals that he's won, the truth is they weren't that solo either. because there were coaches involved, there were nutritionists, there were trainers, there were teammates who pushed him in practices regularly, and even the competitors in the other lanes in those Olympic events are what made ultimately his victories possible. You see, the most valuable and memorable moments in our life, the things that will really last forever, are not those moments where we stand up on a podium all by ourselves and kind of pound our chest and say, look at what I did in this life for me. Because the nature of ourselves, human beings, is to make life about us. And we need regular reminders to do otherwise. And the Church of Jesus Christ is one of God's gifts to remind us that it's not me, it's we. That's one of his gifts. And the most memorable and valuable and the things that are going to last beyond this life, you wanna know what it is? It's our investments in the kingdom of God. It's those times where we're gonna stand arm in arm on the podium with a community of people and we say this, look at what God did in us and look what he did through us. We're gonna look at some scriptures over the next couple weeks where Jesus talks about those are the things that really last forever, our investments into his kingdom. And so the first thing that happens when we all jump in is I move from me to we. And then here's number two, write this down. We move from being religious consumers into mission contributors. Religious consumers into mission contributors. Let's look at that very first church again, the way that they lived and the way that they operated, because there was this incredible relationship with everyone where everyone received and everyone gave. Look at this in Acts 2, 44 and 46. All the believers met together in one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property, possessions. They shared money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared meals with, and let's all say these last four words out loud, ready, go, great joy and generosity. If you're taking notes in your book, and I hope you are, underline those four words, great joy and generosity, because that was what the marked and the reputation of these very first Jesus followers. They were in this community where everyone received. Is it okay to receive? Absolutely, it's okay to receive. But also, everybody contributed. People received and gave, and everybody's needs were met. And there was this environment in a community that operated like that that was marked by great joy and generosity. Now, make no mistake, is it okay to start out as just a consumer in a church? Absolutely. In fact, much of the way we program and kind of the strategy we have in all of our churches is that it is okay to belong before you believe. This is a place that you can just come and consume. You can just show up and say, you know what, let me really check out these claims of Jesus and what this relationship with God thing is all about. And so if you are new around here and you would go, dude, I'm not even a Jesus follower yet. Awesome. Because a lot of us weren't either when we showed up here. And this is a place where you can just consume, and in fact, we want you to consume all you can, because we believe that if you really dig into this, God's word, and you're really seeking truth, that ultimately you're gonna find Jesus, and he is going to change your life. So absolutely, it's okay for a while to just consume. But if you're a Jesus follower, and this is your community, at some point, I would invite you to do what that early church did. Just start to contribute. If you're receiving, just actually start to contribute. Think of it kind of like a neighborhood picnic or a neighborhood block party. If you get together with all your neighbors, you know, maybe once or twice a year and you guys throw a big party. If you just show up every year and all you do is consume, right? You don't help set up. You don't cook any hot dogs. You don't have any, you know, macaroni salad or carne asada or you don't bring any tortillas over. You just come and consume and then you leave and let everybody else clean up. Eventually, everybody in the neighborhood is going to go, dude, that guy's a jerk, right? Because it should be natural to contribute to the community that you're a part of. And so this cannonball, it is an invitation for us to just say, you know what, if this is your church, if this is your community, if your kids are learning about God here, if the ministry of this church has blessed you, if you have been receiving, keep receiving. That's how the church should work. But I would also say, start contributing. Why? So that other people can come just like you and belong before they believe, and begin to just consume, and then ultimately find a relationship with Jesus. You see, Cannonball is an invitation for all of us into this Jesus way of living. The Apostle Paul talks about what a Jesus way of living looks like in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. He's writing to some of his friends that he knows he's never going to see again. And here's what he says to them. This is my last gift to you. This example of a way of life, a life of hard work, a life of helping the weak, a life that echoes every day the words of Jesus our King, who said, it's more blessed to give than receive. You see, Cannonball is an invitation into this Jesus way of living. That we want to receive, but we also want to be people who are contributors, giving, not just receiving. And I want to tell you, I am so thankful and grateful to be a part of a community where already so many of you do this so well. We have such a great reputation in our city and in our community of being a group of people that love and that give and that serve other people. We have a great reputation of being this community that dispenses hope in our world. And so here's my question. Will you join us? If you've been coming for some time and this is your church and you would go, maybe I think I'm just consuming. Just make a decision between you and Jesus to go, you know what? I'm going to start contributing. One more outcome of doing a Cannonball. And this is what it's really all about. When we all jump in, number three, we move from ordinary into extraordinary. This is what you see in that early church in the book of Acts. They encountered Jesus. They were full of the Holy Spirit. And when they made these first two moves, and as a result, extraordinary things happened in them and through them. And in fact, the entire city took notice. Let's keep reading, verse 43 and 47. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. Pause right there. In other words, everyone encountered Jesus so much so that just daily life was different. Have you ever wanted that? Have you ever wanted just your daily routine? Not that necessarily you can change your daily routine, because we all have jobs, we all have bills, we all have stresses. So did these people here. But they had this deep sense of awe. In other words, man, that they were a part of something so special, that God was doing something so authentic in them and wanting to do something so incredible through them. This deep sense of awe came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders, and all the while praising God and enjoying, I love this, the goodwill of all the people. Underline that if you're taking notes, the goodwill of all the people. What does that mean? Everyone in the city, Jesus follower or not, was like, man, those are some joyful, generous people over there. I might not believe what they believe, but wow, look at the way they love one another. Look at the way they sacrifice and care for one another in their community. Look how they serve people outside of their community. That was the reputation they had. And then it says, and each day, in other words, a result of living that way, here's what happened. Each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. The entire city took notice, and every day people said, I want to be a part of that. Don't you want to be a part of a supernatural move of God in your life, in your time? I mean, don't you want to be a part of a church and a movement where an entire city takes notice and says, man, I don't know that I believe what they believe, but man, those people love like crazy. Wow, are they incredibly generous. Look at how they serve and look at what they do in the community. Now, I don't want to be a part of a church that has to just talk about the good old days because there's actually nothing to celebrate today. You see, God is always doing a new thing. He's always up to something new. Scriptures say that God's mercies are new every morning. And so while we can celebrate things in our past, God wants to do new things in our future. And he's simply looking for a group of people who are willing to live a surrendered life, and then who are willing to see themselves as sent people into every sphere of culture and society. That we would see ourselves as people living on this kingdom mission when we go to school, when we go to our jobs, when we're living in our neighborhoods. That's what God is looking for. And if we would view our daily life like that, I think we would see some extraordinary things. This is what the early church saw. There were two regular guys that had this incredible encounter, Peter and John. And because they were living full of the Holy Spirit, seeing themselves as sent people on Jesus' mission, they walked by this disabled man and they said, we don't have any money to help you, but you know what? Get up and walk. And this guy was healed, and it caused such a commotion that they were grabbed and pulled in front of these community leaders, the city leaders. And look at this in verse 13. It says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. This is our primary goal for this series, that we would be men and women who meet and connect with Jesus. That is our goal, 100% participation. That in all of our churches, over the next 6 weeks, every one of us would have a life-changing encounter with God. And I need you to hear this super clear. Our primary goal is not $27 million over the next 2 years. That's a goal, but it's really an outcome goal of the first goal, the input goal, which is if all of us would live surrendered to God and we would say, God, we want to encounter you. We want you to change us, and we want to do whatever it is you ask us to do to, like Paul said, lay it on the line for this Jesus mission. We're going to be able to accomplish everything that God calls us to do. Now, I know the next 6 weeks are going to be an incredible journey, but I also know that for some of us, a subject like this is a little challenging. Maybe it's a little hard. Maybe it's kind of put a little knot in your stomach, and that could be because of maybe a bad past church history where people really took advantage took advantage of you, or it was very manipulative or any of those kind of things. Or maybe just because of the way that you've been living. And you would just kind of, maybe hearing this is kind of like, man, I don't know that I'm a contributor and I love Jesus, but I'm not really living that surrendered life. And sometimes that can put a knot in our stomach and it can be hard. But here's what I want to tell you as your pastor. Sometimes the hard things are the best things. Sometimes those things that make us a little uncomfortable, God actually uses to stretch us and grow us in our faith. And I know that's what's happening for me. This is something that we've been talking about and praying over and planning for months and months and months as a church staff. And so as my wife and I have been talking about this, this is something that's stretching us. This is something that's changing us. This is something that's causing us to look at, okay, how are we going to once again kind of live that total surrendered life? What is it that God's saying to us? And that's all we're asking you to do, is go on the spiritual journey saying, Jesus, I am open to whatever you want to accomplish in my life. And so let me give you some kind of final instructions here as we close up. First of all, I hope that you will get in a group. Because to get the most out of this experience, you not only need to hear what we're talking about, but we want you to kind of dig a little deeper in a discussion group. So when we dismiss, go out to Group Central and find a group that fits you and go on this spiritual journey with us for 6 weeks. Another thing we want you to do, if you're here today and you're willing to say, I'm in, not I know what I'm going to do or I have this thing figured out, if you just would go, man, I believe in the mission of this church. I see the good things that we're doing collectively as a community, and I want to be in on it. Not even that you know what that looks like, but if you're just willing to say, I'm in on the spiritual journey, we have a gift for you. We want everybody today to walk out of here with one of these, a Cannonball shirt. And so all you got to do is walk out on the patio, look for the Cannonball Hub, and grab one of those as our gift to you and a way for you to just remember, like, all right, I'm in on this spiritual journey. Here's another thing. Everybody close your book and look at the back of it. We created a special website just for this generosity initiative over the next 2 years. It is jumpinmakewaves.com. And all of the, and even more of the kind of story, the vision video that we shared with you, there's an expanded version on there. You can check out, you can share that with a friend that maybe wasn't here. All the messages from the weekends will be there. All of the small group videos are on there. So even if you just wanted to host your own group, you can go on there, you can watch the video, you can invite some friends, and the discussion guide is inside of this book. But all that information is on there. Make sure you take advantage of that. Here's the other one. We want you to keep this book and bring it with you every week. I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, yeah, right, dude. I lose everything. Some of you can't find your keys between here and the parking lot because you come back and you're like, I left them in the cup holder, okay? So right now, this is going to feel like fourth grade, but you need to do this. Everybody write your name on your book. I'm serious. Like, you're in Mr. Grogan's class. Write your name, homeroom 301, right? Like, write your name on your book because I know you many of you, and you will lose this. All right, so put your name right on the front of the book. That's yours. We want you to keep it. Look through those other pages this week that kind of tell you a story. And then your commitment card, again, just put this in a special place and begin to pray. This church has always had a group of people that we've simply said, you listen to the Holy Spirit, I listen to the Holy Spirit, and then if we all do what Jesus tells us to do, together we can accomplish some pretty cool kingdom of God ways. So keep that right there. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you invite a bunch of imperfect people like us to be a part of your incredible kingdom of God mission. And may we never lose sight of that. God, we're so grateful. We're grateful that you are the one that has taken our sin, that we're not trying to earn our way to you, but Jesus has already made a way for all of us. And so God, help us live in that grace and out of that place. And God, I pray the next 6 weeks would challenge us, inspire us, change us, and call us to greater things for your glory, not our own. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.